Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 255 of Swish and Flick.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie. You almost forgot to say your name.
I literally was waiting for Tiffany to say, I'm Tiffany, and I'm not lying.
It's been 2 months. Oh, that's okay. Anyway, this episode is sponsored by Jessica Beck. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica.
And thank you for having an easy name. I super appreciate that. So today we have a special guest. Everyone say hello and welcome to Mia.
Hello.
How are you?
Phenomenal.
This lady is multitasking. She's cooking bread right now. She's baking on the pod with us.
Baking bread.
I am baking bread. I didn't want to work this afternoon, so I decided to make bread.
Totally, you know, understand that. I've done that before with a banana bread. I'm like, you know what? I need to stand up for a little bit out of my chair and not look at my computer. So
banana bread perks of working from home. Going bad. The bananas
right?
were going bad. So mm-hmm. I decided to make the yeasted banana bread.
I have
hoping
yeast.
That
we
it's
should
not
do
exploding.
That. I mean, there are.
I'll send you the recipe.
There are four bananas please. Sitting on the counter waiting to be turned into something. Because right now they're just turning into mush.
They're too ripe. I can't eat them.
Yeah.
They're disgusting.
We're going to go on to the ripeness scale of bananas.
Oh, it's got to be just ripe.
Fun fact, though, did you know you get different health benefits on every stage of a banana?
Yeah.
No.
It's pretty cool. I'll have to find the cool little meme
Please
I found.
Inform us, Katie. You
everything...
can't just drop that and then be like, oh, I don't actually know all what it is. But yeah,
I'm
that's
sorry.
True.
I'm sorry.
Do you peel your bananas from the bottom like monkeys?
Yes.
You lying?
No,
I'm not.
Serious.
I really
I
do.
It's so much easier.
Then you don't get like that smashed top, which I shouldn't care about anyway, because I always take the top off because apparently that's where spiders can live and I get freaked out.
Okay, she like read that probably once when she was 12 and has never eaten the tip of a banana
nope.
ever since.
Nope, never. Can't do it. Anyway, this is not a banana podcast, but we are banana stans.
Yeah, I'm a banana stan, unlike Tiffany and Sarah, who are not banana stans and are not welcome on this episode because of that. So
I'm a keg stand.
Hey. What we are going to be discussing today are some of our favorite Harry Potter relationships, some relationship hot takes. Ooh, la la, which I realized when I texted about this, it accidentally autocorrected to hotcakes. And I didn't realize that for about 2 weeks. And when I went back into there, I was like, that's embarrassing.
The way I didn't notice.
And also a little precursor.
Relationship pancakes.
Yeah, yes. Right. If we like, we're not, this is just our personal opinions about these ships. Like,
oh,
we
you,
support everyone's love of whatever ship you want to ship. Canon or non-canon, so please don't be upset if we bash something that you like. But first,
unless
let's
it's
go.
Like inherently problematic.
Okay, yeah, we'll go with that. That's true.
Yeah.
But first, before we get into what is going to be an interesting episode, let's go to Meg for the weekly profit.
I will also not talk to anybody who has anything to say to me about Remus and Lily. Okay, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. They are perfect. Forget James.
But not baby James.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh my god. Puff puff Jess. A short stack.
Oh yes. Okay. Okay. Weekly profit. That's what I was doing. HBO Max is losing Harry Potter again. Again, guys, they can't stay anywhere. I don't understand. They're moving back to Peacock, but not the free Peacock, the $5 per month premium tier Peacock. And apparently, based on this article that I found, it says that they're still on HBO Max until August 31st. So like, you've got a couple weeks, but they're going away soon.
Is like, why, how are these deals like month long at a time. That's what it feels like. I know it's longer than that, but like
this
it changes
was the longest
so often.
That they've been somewhere, I will say.
Yeah. True.
But
I think HBO, Warner Brothers, like they're going through it at the moment with like something. The Discovery purchase. And so like CW trashed a bunch of shows. HBO Max like removed a bunch of like their original made content like overnight.
Mm.
A bunch of stuff is dying.
It does say in this article, actually, now that I'm reading what article I pulled, it's from tomsguide.com. I don't know who Tom is.
Tom legit. Riddle?
You know, maybe, but he
Any
says
relation to Timmy.
This is Timmy's dad, Tom. If the Harry Potter films come back to HBO Max, and why wouldn't they? We expect they'd return for the eventual HBO Max and Discovery Plus merger. Oh shoot, I actually didn't even realize that they bought Discovery Plus. I have Discovery Plus.
We do.
So Discovery does that mean that that's going to go away?
Bought them?
Oh, good. Wait, oh, no. So does that mean my $5 a month Discovery Plus is going to get me HBO Max?
That'd be nice. Suddenly we're going to get an email. Okay, we're going to be charging $14.99 now.
I just really like to watch Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yes.
On Discovery Plus.
Yes.
And then also Little People Big World. I don't know why, but I do. And crikey, it's the Irwins. And also all the old reruns of The Crocodile Hunter are on there. So I just love the Irwins.
They're solid people.
I love the drama of Little People Big World. Like, who's going to buy the farm? Oh, Matt's putting it up for sale. It's still for sale. Nobody wants it because he wants $4 million, but he wouldn't sell it to his kids to keep the farm in the family and family legacy. Matt is such an word I can't say on this podcast. Anyway, this was very random. So
we already talked about bananas. It is what it is.
We're hitting the gamut.
Okay, so make sure that you follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because you know what, we've talked about a lot of things already. Maybe they'll like us.
Someone's gotta like something about us. We're such an eclectic mix.
Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Swish Flick Cast. If you would like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/Swish Flick Cast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish Swag boxes, which by the time this episode airs, they should have all shipped, because we actually have. I know I said that they were going to ship in July, and then I forgot about everything we were doing in the second half of July, but they are going to ship the first like 6 days of August, which I am pretty impressed with us.
Which is probably the best we've done
in a long time. Thank you all so much for your support. We appreciate you guys so much. And I am literally all over the place today, so this is going to be great. We are always accepting Potter stories. If you would like to send those to us or just any fun things, questions, or concerns, you can do so to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Do you ever feel like you're just saying swishflickcast over and over and over again?
Yes.
Swish swag.
Mia, do you want to go over your little terminology glossary thing that you put in here?
Which we really appreciated.
Some little buzzwords, things we might say during this episode so you all know what it means.
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, as an annoying professor, I don't know what levels of knowledge of nerd that people are listening to the podcast with. So when we decided that this was what we were going to talk about, I figured that having a little terminology glossary would be kind of helpful to talk about relationships and that sort of thing. So common buzzwords. So things like canon versus fanon. So canon being, you know, the original source material. I know that we all like to debate, you know, what is considered Harry Potter canon as far as like books only. Do we include movies? Do we include Cursed Child?
Yeah, it's hard with the movies because like some things go against the book. So I feel like Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like it depends.
Yeah. Especially like, because so fanon is this like fan invented information that like supplements canon, right? And so it's like, well, if some of the, because was it Haman? Is he the fellow that wanted Harry and Hermione together? No, it's Yates.
No.
No?
It was
whoever wrote the script, right?
Hold on, I'll find it. Script.
Someone came in and tried to mess stuff up. Yeah, Steve Kloves.
Kloves. I don't know.
Whatever. It's like he forced Fanon to become canon.
Yeah.
Right.
Sort of vibes. So like a little subcategory then of Fanon would be headcanons, which we've talked about quite frequently. But where a person kind of invents a piece of Fanon that they really buy into, but isn't maybe necessarily accepted by like the general fandom. So like, you know, Remus and Lily absolutely needed to be together. Mm-hmm. Megan can totally headcanon that.
Well, and here's the thing, like the difference is like, yes, I love them in a relationship together. My headcanon, my realistic headcanon, I guess, for like the actual source material is that they totally crushed on each other. But Remus felt like he could not approach her because of James.
Yeah, he couldn't break that trust.
So that's my like realistic headcanon. Now, if I could have everything that I wanted with Harry Potter, which I cannot, it would be that they actually wound up together and, you know, Neville could take care of things. It's fine.
Neville is very capable of supporting this series. Okay. Neville Longbottom and the.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you imagine the anxiety?
I would relate to the books even more.
Okay. So then just a couple of other terms that are all kind of interconnected, but we started talking about ships and shipping. So obviously this is just rooting for two characters to get together romantically. I will say there's some really gross stuff in terms of like shipping real world people. Not about that. Mm-hmm, don't do that.
Yeah, like, that's a good point.
No.
Oh, you mean like the people who like had a countdown for Millie Bobby Brown's 18th birthday?
That, you know,
I think that happened to Emma Watson as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, not it's okay. There's just a weird crossing of lines. Like it's one thing when we're talking about characters versus real human beings.
Yeah.
Where are you guys at in Grey's Anatomy? This completely.
We're in the middle of season 5.
We're in 5?
Yeah.
That's a good season. Four? Have you met Arizona?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some weird stuff that happened in the Grey's Anatomy world of like shipping Jessica Capshaw, who plays Arizona, with real humans, even though she's married with children.
Okay.
People get weird.
I feel like a lot of that kind of stuff happens nowadays too with like social media people who like share relationships on social media, and then like if something happens to their relationship, like how difficult that is sometimes for like there was a couple TikTok couples that I had followed for a while, and then like stuff happened, and it's like the need for information from their followers of like every time she would post a video or every time she was live, like it would just be constant. Like, what happened? Why did you break up? Like, what's the drama? Just like hounding her. And it's like, that is not cool. That's not cool.
So we're just going to make a blanket statement that says, don't ship real people that you don't know and interact with.
Yep. Yeah.
Even if you do,
mm-hmm.
just support the people you love. Okay.
Yeah. mind your own business.
Mia has a soapbox.
I do.
Yeah.
It grosses me out to no end. Like,
yeah.
you don't know what you wade into. Okay. OTPs, of course, your one true pair, one true pairing. So it's like your tippy top. This relationship above the one everybody that else.
Forever live in your heart.
And then I threw in just a little bit of fan fiction ship terminology, just because I didn't know if that was going to play a role in terms of how you decided on who was your favorites, if fan fiction came into play or not.
Got it. That's good thinking.
So you have like hetfix, slashfix, and then femslashfix, which are obviously heterosexual couples. Slash is going to be male and male. And then femslash is female and female. There's a lot of really interesting discourse in terms of wanting a separate category for femslash than from slashfix that I remember reading about. And then, of course, AU, alternative universes. So you've got your canonical characters, but potentially in like a different universe or setting or timeline, sort of stuff. Like I remember reading a fic of like Harry Potter characters, but in, I don't know if it was like Lord of the Rings, sort of setting. Like it went off and was very strange. Anyway, so just some different terms, things, if people listening didn't think that far into the series.
Yeah,
the stuff gets deep for real,
truly. Well,
it was a mess before all the books were out.
Some of the fan fiction that I read, let me tell you, yeah. I was all about it. That, I mean, honestly, fan fiction was one of like the biggest things that Sarah and I connected on in high school. Like we both read so much Potter fan fiction. And that would be like what we would have conversations about like in high school.
Did y'all waste all of your family's ink printing out?
I would
copy of all of the internet stories.
Like why do we feel the need to do that?
And I would actually do it at school. And there was this one, and you know what? A long time ago, I mentioned it on the podcast, and somebody found it for me. And I have it saved somewhere, but I'm blanking on the name. But it was this like Ron Hermione fanfic. It was seriously like, I kid you not, like over 70 chapters. And I printed that thing out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like there was a time where like you just weren't sure if things were gonna stay up either.
Yeah.
Like, and stay in existence. So it was like, I have to print this out now that I found it so that I always have it. Because what if it gets taken down and then it's not there anymore?
Yeah. Truly. There, and it's so, oh my gosh, it's so funny. We at LeakyCon, we listened to Fanatical Fix and Where to Find Them live. And they talked about their, oh, first of all, yes, they're so hilarious. Funny. But second, they mentioned the website Checkmated and I lost my mind because I was like, oh my God, I lived on that website. It was specifically a fan fiction website about Ron and Hermione. It was like every single fic on there was a Ron Hermione fanfic.
The and name this was is
before
so
they were actually together. So it was like, I mean, when I was really into it, it was like post Goblet when like Order wasn't out yet.
Okay.
The in between.
And they were like, oh yeah, you guys remember Checkmate? And I was like, I looked at Katie, I'm like, oh my God, I loved that website. Oh my God. And that was where I read that one fanfic. And actually, I wonder if Checkmate exists anymore. You can bet your butt I'm going to look right now. It sure does not. Darn. Anyway, yeah, it was all about
the Wayback Machine.
Oh, probably. Yeah, you're right. Probably one of those like archive websites.
Mm-hmm. Set it to Wumbo.
Before we dive into actual relationships, Mia, have we Have you been on an episode before?
No.
Like not the ball. Like not even
the ball.
A Felix Files yet?
No.
Oh shoot. Okay, well we have to get your Potter profile.
We gotta do it.
Okay.
I'm sorry to drop this on you out of nowhere.
No, it's fine. I think I remembered to look it up beforehand.
Okay, good.
Just in case.
Hold on. You think you remembered to look it up.
I'm gonna pull up a little our little prompt so we know for sure. Oh, let's see. I'm gonna steal this from the episode that Marcus was in.
Okay, well, your house.
You're throwing it in hot.
A lot of people know it, but what's your house?
So it's Ravenclaw, the best house. TM.
Caw. I mean, it's a good one.
It's the best house. I don't
know if I go that far, but it's a good one.
It's been trademarked. Facts are facts. let's see. My wand is a black walnut wood with a phoenix feather core.
Ooh.
10 3/4 inches. And unyielding flexibility.
Dang. Like
Bellatrix. Is that what it is? I couldn't
Bellatrix
remember.
Bellatrix is unyielding, yeah.
Hers might be... Well, maybe, that tracks. You know? Her black walnut? I don't know. That's cool.
my Patronus is a deer hound.
Cool.
Is that cool?
Yeah, those are so cute.
Are they cute? I don't know.
Aren't
I feel
they those
like
big dogs?
I feel like they're really leggy.
Dog. They are
they're
very
really
leggy. They are, but they're cute.
Aww. Okay. Aww. It does look like the serious. That is a serious dog.
Okay. All right. Aww. All right. I take it back. Very cute. Perfect.
And they're from Scotland.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, it Bellatrix is wand.
It has
walnut.
Like a little goatee.
It does.
Oh god.
Check out the legs on this dude.
Look at his tail.
Oh, it's so awkward. I love it.
It's cute.
That tracks. favorite book and movie. It tends to shift. Honestly, I'd probably have to say 5 on both counts, like book and movie.
Yes.
Wow, another 5.
That's rare.
That's very rare.
I also really enjoy 6, which is part of the problem, even though the movies are completely different from the books. But just as like standalone movies, you know, they're solid and the soundtracks are banging.
I watch 5 so often. I haven't watched it in a long time, but that's usually the one where it's either 1 or 5. When I sit down to put on Harry Potter, I'm like, I feeling baby Harry or Umbridge.
5 is usually my go-to. When I got to undergrad and I would kind of just let them play on loop overnight while I slept, it was usually 5 and then 6.
Nice.
That I would listen to. Favorite character. It's probably kind of cliche, but I'm probably going to say Hermione.
She cool.
About, like
the
first time I got to see like a female character portrayed as like smart and didn't feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As an adult, I do love McG. Like she's my professor goals. Is McG kind of levels of teaching? I do have a better scoring system.
I was going to say, just watch out.
My
for
scoring
that.
Is much more reasonable. but when I started my PhD program, my former professor and friend, she sent me McGonagall's wand as a gift.
That's awesome.
That's there. And how I got into Potter. Well, I was in, I want to say, 2nd grade, maybe. And I think my mom bought me the first 3 or 4 books. And I read to chapter 5. No. I hadn't read Diagon Alley yet. So I read like 1 through 4 and stopped. It's like, this is stupid.
Why did we all do this?
I literally did this exact same thing like 4 times.
And then like a year later, I was like, Ma, I'm out of books. We have to go to my bookstore, which is Pages for All Ages. But I was like, I need more books. So you have to go. And she's like, I bought you 4 of the biggest books I've ever seen in my entire life. Go read those. So then I restarted it and read it. And then I always say that she created a monster because I have since read them an ungodly amount of times. That's like not fit to say on the internet. So there you have it. Nice. So now I'm obsessed. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I like, had I just read one more chapter that first time I picked it up.
What if you had never picked it up again?
I know. I think about that sometimes. And I can't. Oh, I saw the movie. That's why I picked it up.
That's me too.
I saw the first movie before I then was like, oh, I get it.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, I think that's pretty reasonable. A lot of people just like to be able to see something.
It's just so weird because, like, I was such a big reader as a kid. And, like, I don't, it's not, like there are a lot of stories with Potter where it's, like, that was what got me into reading, on and on and on. But, like, that wasn't the case for me. Like, I was really big into actually Babysitter's Club Little Sister, Karen books.
Especially the one where she broke her arm.
Oh my God. I was obsessed with the one where she broke her arm. I don't know why. She was roller skating and she broke her arm. Anyway.
I love you, Meg.
I was a huge reader and it was, I don't know what made me stop.
Was it ever like fantasy adjacent or was it all
like did I read fantasy?
Yeah. Or was that too far of a
I did read like Witch by Roald Dahl. I did read Witch, but I can't remember if I read that before or after Potter. I guess maybe, yeah, I wasn't necessarily as into fantasy until I finally read through Potter. It was more so just like, I'm trying to remember what books I was really into the Babysitter's Club Little Sister books. I don't know.
Interesting.
Marguerite brought up the Boxcar Children. I used to love those books. And also Brandon brought up Nancy Drew. I did like those a lot too.
Oh, I also read. Oh, there's the first yawn. I did also read. Oh my God, what is wrong with me today? Little House on the Prairie.
Goosebumps. No, I couldn't do that. No, I was too scared.
My cousin read Goosebumps and I just saw the cover of one of those and I was like,
Animorphs.
Yeah. Oh, and I was also really into like the American
covers
Girl.
Freaked me out.
They were so serious.
Yeah, I don't know if I remember the Animorphs.
They had like the evolution of the people like into whatever creature.
Yeah,
they
like
were
on the
thing into.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And like the lizards and like no. Not for me.
I was really into American Girl books. Like the stories about the American Girl dolls.
That's cool though. They're super historical.
I really liked historical fiction, which is so not my jam anymore. Like I don't know who that girl was.
Because
it's not me.
I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
I even like those diary ones of like historical, like it was like young girls in different time periods and like their life. Like that's what I liked. I don't know. Anyway, we can talk about relationships now.
Oh, but I'm going first and I'm scared. Okay.
You're scared.
Yeah. I don't know. Just been like anxious today.
It's gonna be banter. Fine.
It could just be a conversation.
Yeah, it's all right.
I just go in order.
Yeah, I just put an order because you know it was the easiest. But you just bring up some that you like, and if we have the same ones, we'll talk about it, and then we can say other ones. It's all good.
Also, okay. Discord. Drop your relationships that you want.
Yeah, everybody do like a lightning bolt. And do your OTP.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, do we want to get Well, that's non-canon. We'll start with canon.
Okay. We'll start with canon.
Yeah, what's your favorite canon pairing?
Truthfully, I think it probably is Remus Tonks.
Okay.
I appreciate it. I just really like that these two people that probably never should have found each other did, and they did create happiness for each other. It was very short-lived, and I have a lot to say about that, but I think it was actually true happiness there when everything finally came together.
Should we start playing Happiness by Taylor Swift?
Yeah, of course. But copyright.
Probably not. No, don't
play it. Let's see.
Episode removed immediately.
Right.
Yeah. I pulled like just some like articles to back me up a little bit. I will say Wizarding World has one that, and I'm not even going to bring it up because the title just makes me sad. Why Lupin and Tonks' romance is one of Harry Potter's greatest tragedies. Which I agree with because
was the recreation. I think that's what made their relationship so important. Like it seems, I mean, obviously we know who the important characters are. But Remus is such a good secondary character.
He's first in my heart.
Right, totally. But to like have one of Harry's dad's best friends like recreate the tragedy of his best friend's death, like with the second war, like dang, the Marauders were just cursed. But like I hate saying that, like showing that, because like what's the author's reasoning? It was like basically to show that I think history repeats itself, and
also like always so that
tragedies and there's always going to be tragedies and consequences in many different ways when it comes to war.
And then Harry got to become a godfather and blah 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 blah,
and he got to be the godfather that Sirius wanted to be for him,
right?
For Teddy,
right? Something I found on Reddit that I liked was like they said like both of them have their problems, obviously. Is it a match made in heaven? No. Is it a match made in love and compassion? Yes. I really liked that a lot. And then someone else said, I always felt like Remus would have loved her more because he had no one and she fought to be the one there. I really appreciated that too. Like he needed someone to be like, no, I'm choosing you, and needed someone to say that out loud and mean it.
I also really like the odd this is kind of a weird parallel that is mostly based in fanon and headcanon for us a little bit based on conversations, but I like the fact that we have Remus, who in fanon is like just pushed so hard for Wolfstar with like him and Sirius and the fact that Remus is gay. And the fact that like lycanthropy is supposed to be a direct correlation to like AIDS, et cetera, et cetera. With Tonks, who we in our own headcanon have decided like is potentially non-binary, and like her being a metamorphagus and being able to take on whatever she wants to be. I like love them together because it's almost like this oddly weird
queer couple.
Yes. That isn't canonically queer, you know what I mean? Like it's like we get this pairing of people who the fandom have said are queer in a relationship together, like that is canon, you know.
Well, and like the effort was put into the relationship, even if some of it happens in off screen Seville or whatever. You know, the relationship itself is canon. There was discussion of it taking place, not just after the fact the author said, hey, they were in a relationship sort of a thing.
Yeah.
That's dope. Your guys' episode on Tonks is probably one of my favorite.
I kind of want to go listen to it.
That and the Madame Maxime one.
Surprised the heck out of me.
That one did surprise me.
It made me want to do was write a paper on gender norms in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to do after I finished listening to both.
Do it. We'll read it
My
live.
My friends were like, go write your dissertation. So I did that instead.
I think what else I really like about these two is like there's so much unknown time that you can just create on your own. Like you can just make up how much time they did or didn't spend between missions at Grimald Place.
How much time they did
it. you could make that up too.
How much time did they spend doing the horizontal mambo?
Right. I was trying to keep this clean, friends. No, I'm just kidding.
That was clean.
Yeah.
I like what Brandon said about them too, because he said, I also see Lupin and Tonks as a lesson to the reader to not waste time when it comes to love. Time is limited with your person.
Yes.
Yeah.
1,000%. So. Yes. I agree.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That ship.
Let's see. Should I go into a non-canon?
Or do we all want to do canon?
Yeah, let's all do a canon. I like that. Okay.
A couple people in the chat said the one that I would probably pick, book specifically, Harry and Ginny, which is kind of cliche, but I appreciated in the books how you kind of saw the relationship develop. I know I have a hard time with just shipping folks in general in a series that isn't about romance, so to speak. Like the plot was focused on other things, but to see them kind of develop in a teenage fashion and that sort of build up, and then Harry in six, it's just, I don't know, really funny to me to be reading. Where he's talking about like the little monster in his chest, and
yeah,
you know, Ginny really coming into her own, and that was just excellent.
I feel like their relationship was like the most relatable as a kid reading it, because it felt the most real and the most that like you could actually maybe have comparative feelings with at that age of reading it for the first time.
Totally.
Yeah,
I think I struggle with wanting to like it because like the whole she looks exactly like his mother thing is just maybe a little weird.
Yeah, it's like they literally like recreated Lily and James,
which just felt unnecessary. But like Ginny from like Order of the Phoenix and Half-Blood Prince, Ginny is excellent. So I enjoyed them as far as canon relationships.
So they wouldn't be high school sweethearts, but would they be called like Hogwarts sweethearts?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that what you call anyone who stuck together after Hogwarts?
University unions.
I mean, I always liked Harry and Ginny. It was like a very expected ending for Harry, which was a little bit like meh, but also it was kind of what people wanted, which is a nice thing sometimes.
Her book character was just so good that like it still felt okay, even if it was practical. Like at least she still had her own, you know, self. Yeah,
and she is like a good
agency.
She's a good like balance to Harry, where she is like so much smarter and so cool, like so much more cool, and like honestly I think more sporty. I mean, she's the one that went to go play for a professional Quidditch team, not Harry. So I just think that they like they're alike enough but also like balance each other out at the same time.
Yeah, like, and I'm not saying anything negative about Ron and Hermione in the slightest, but
you better not.
Like, I would not. But I feel like they're, you know, further ends of the spectrum from one another, that maybe Harry and Ginny are a little bit closer together. But Ginny also has her own kind of thing going on and didn't feel the need to sacrifice any of that, you know, to be with Harry or anything like that. Also, she puts him in his place, which I also appreciated.
Me too.
Yeah.
And like continues to in Cursed Child. So like the character continues on, which I appreciate.
They are a good couple in Cursed Child still. Like, and everybody has the films. Their peppers and opinions about Cursed Child, but yeah, I do enjoy their relationship in that as well. Now, Ron and Cursed Child's another conversation. Does anybody have anything else to say about Harry and Ginny before?
All I have to say is we got,
I said before I go on to my favorite.
Oh, we also got Magic School Mates and Hogwarts Honeys, and I just
Hogwarts
needed to,
Honeys
needed to shout those out.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh.
Since I read Order of the Phoenix, hardcore shipped Ron and Hermione to the point where it was my personality for a while. Like, when I tell you all I did at home was read Ron and Hermione fan fiction and role play Ron and Hermione in the MuggleNet chat rooms and
chat rooms.
Oh my gosh, it was. Yeah, I wanted them to be together so badly. And honestly, like looking back and like rereading these books now as an adult and like looking back on that, like I still see the little like instances where it's clear that they like each other. But I don't know if I necessarily am like as enamored with them as a couple as I was whenever it was like I didn't know if they were going to end up together. So it was like this whole process of being like, oh, I really want them to be together. And then like reading the fifth or reading the sixth book and like, you could tell that like it wanted to happen, but it didn't. And then like getting to the seventh one and like the beginning, they're like, they clearly like kind of have something going on. And then, you know, me being me read so fast, I didn't even notice that they kissed. And then I had to go back and reread it.
They never got together.
But I obviously knew that. No, I knew they ended up together because of the epilogue. But like, I didn't know that they kissed in the Jane Rose secret.
I feel like some of that, though, is like just a product of getting older and like not relating as much to children and the back and forth of like a teenage romance sort of a thing. Like,
yeah, that's why sometimes
we don't want to do that anymore. Like, give me the stability.
I know. Like, sometimes I still enjoy reading YA books, but I have to be in the mood to read a YA book, and it has to be the right kind of YA book. So like YA quote romance is not nearly as exciting to me now that I have discovered contemporary romance. So like,
it's really interesting going back because of all of the reading y'all have gotten me to do in the last year.
You're welcome.
I mean, truly, the way that reading got like pushed aside and whatever during my PhD, like I did not get to read for fun anymore. So the minute that was done, homie just started reading. But so like even just the differences in like Throne of Glass versus ACOTAR or Crescent City, like
I'm
like, ooh, they're gonna hold hands.
I mean, no spoilers or anything, but I did get to a part in the book that I'm at in Throne of Glass, and I was like, oh, that was nice.
What year was this now? When this was happening?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I liked that scene. Because like leading up to that had just been, basically like they're gonna hold hands, they're gonna lay in bed together, they're gonna kiss,
fade to black.
Right,
we did not see anything.
I'm like, come on, give it to me. And I do remember like the seventh book coming out, and like I had dived so deep into Romani fan fiction, and I was just like, come on, like give us something with them, like something more than just holding hands or a kiss. But like, you know, that wasn't relevant to the story. So like, it was never going to happen, but that didn't mean I wanted it any less.
I'm really interested to know for y'all how much like fan fiction played into shaping what your favorite relationships or favorite characters were, like in the books, off screenville.
I think so much.
I think a lot. Yeah.
So much. Like,
which is interesting.
Like, yeah.
Cause that's like, that's what I kind of like am thinking in my head now, like doing this reread. I'm like, why was I so obsessed with Ron and Hermione? And I think it's fan fiction. I think fan fiction was the answer. Like when there was, mm-hmm. I mean, thankfully, whenever I got into Potter, it was more towards the end of that waiting period between Goblet of Fire and Order. So
I got lucky.
I didn't have to wait as long as a lot of people. However, nope. That meant that there was a lot of content out there that was already created for me to take in. And I mean, I guess at that point I was only 12, I think, when the movie came out, 11, and then maybe turned 12. I'm trying to think. Did it actually come out in 2001? It did, didn't it?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So I was 11. So I'm guessing I didn't really get into like the fan fiction until maybe I was like 13, I think. Sounds like a really plausible age for me to get in that. And then also, like, this sounds really bizarre, but like we had like a desktop computer, but like I had like limitations to like how long I could be on it because it
wasn't
the
like
phone
you could just
line
be on
and,
the
like,
couch yep. swiping through
right,
your
like,
phone
there was, like there was like I it was like during the summers when I could stay up really late, and then like I could be on it whenever we weren't getting phone calls, like in the middle of the night, and like my parents didn't care as much or didn't know maybe that I was doing it at midnight. And like I would actually, for a while, we only had one computer in the house, and for a while I would like sneak out of my bedroom to go to, I think it was in the living room for a long time. And then like it would wake my parents up because I would like be turning the lights on and all that kind of Oops, I just swore, I'm sorry. So yeah, I would like sneak into the living room, or if there was a period of time where it was in the dining room, it kind of like moved around our house. And then eventually when I was maybe like early 15, I finally convinced my parents to just let me have the computer in my room because they were so tired of me like, and they didn't use it. I mean, my dad had a computer at work and didn't want to touch one when he came home. So like he didn't care or anything like that. And then, yeah, like dang the dial up. So anyway, that I'm aging myself, but it was genuinely like a process to like take in this content, much more of a process than it is now. I literally have a fanfiction.net app on my phone that I could just be like, boop, boop, boop.
Right.
Let's search something.
I remember being awake until like there, I didn't, on the weekends, I wouldn't have like a limitation per se, but like, I knew that like, it might not have been totally smiled upon that I was up so late. And I mean, I'd be up until like 2-3 in the morning, like role playing with friends online. And like, it wasn't this nice, smooth Mac keyboard. It was like, you know, so I'd be like typing so quiet.
Type a little paragraph, like, this is what I'm going to do next. And you're trying to be quiet.
Yes. Just trying so hard not to wake anyone up because I didn't want to stop. And I didn't. Yeah, and it was, you know, 3 a.m. or something.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for, like, the additional content shaping your views when you didn't have the entire series, you know, at your fingertips yet.
Yeah. I think it played a huge role.
Yeah, I mean, I've had in other fandoms, but, like, I would read one fan fiction that completely shaped a different character to the point that if I ever went back and tried to rewatch the show, I was irritated with that character. Even though the things that happened in the fanfic didn't happen in the show.
Right.
I'm like, now
right.
I hate you. This is a problem now.
I mean, it's definitely fan fiction and like fanon as to why I love the Marauders the way that I do, because we don't get that much information really at all in the books. We get none of it about their youth, really.
People,
you know,
have great imaginations and but, ran
oh
with
my
it
God.
With stories.
Yeah, the way that the whole
Don't
thing
I wish.
Is shaped. Whew, I think that is almost better than like the actual series. Like everything that's out there is just so fun.
Yeah,
totally.
I think too, a lot of fan fiction that I read made me really hate Victor Crumb. And like, truly, there's no reason for me to dislike him. I actually put Hermione and Victor as a pairing to talk about, because sometimes looking back as an adult, I wonder if that would have been the better pairing for her. I mean, he respected her. But I guess maybe they didn't have as much to talk about. I don't know.
I'm like a bit of age.
Yeah.
I know it's only like 3-ish years.
Okay, but what about Snape and Hermione?
That makes me want to vomit. I have a lot of feelings about that one. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Don't but yeah, get I it.
So much That's Ron abuse. Hermione.
You ship abuse. Gross.
So much Ron Hermione fan fiction just like absolutely bashed Crumb. Like
a lot
totally shaped my opinion of him.
I think I'm gonna get, you know, burnt at the stake. But most of the fanfic that I read, which keep in mind this was definitely pre Half-Blood Prince at a minimum, was Hermione, Draco and Herb. So it was pre he had completely joined the Nazis. And you know, I want to
that was bring a popular home all the strays to write about.
I want to bring home all the strays and try to fix them. So it's not surprising that I enjoyed reading that sort of thing. Did I ever ship them in the actual series? No, absolutely not. He was a trash bag.
Yeah.
it was just awful. Like,
no, yeah.
No. But some people on the internet are really great, gifted, talented writers that have completely shaped how you can view a character. And, you know, that came into play quite quickly. Didn't hurt that like Tom Felton and Emma Watson are gorgeous human beings.
Right.
But there's that.
That is a pairing that people ship all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, if they want it to happen, it'll happen. But like, let's not be like,
we're not shipping real together. Real world people. Leave them alone.
But I mean, we can say that they look cute together.
Yes. Yes.
Because they do.
Perfectly fine.
Like those videos of like them riding the skateboard together in California melt my heart. They like, look so happy.
The reunion special when they saw each other. Stop.
Please. I know.
Too.
But Snape and Hermione. No. Just no. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well,
that was like one of those things that I probably like, I believe it was like, you know, fanfiction.net, whatever, and I probably saw it and went, what, and clicked on it and then went, oh no, and never had to go back to it, you know.
Yeah. Why is it a thing? Like I truly don't understand.
There's a couple of interesting pairings. I've also seen Sirius Hermione.
I've also seen Remus Hermione.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're both book nerds.
Like these are that people was... who are old enough to be their parents. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Listen, Hermione kindled the bluebell flames between her and Snape when she lit them on fire. I'm just kidding.
80. No.
I agree.
Absolutely not. It's just
not a fan.
I truly can't make sense of it because that's abuse. And
yeah.
No, nope.
We don't support that here.
Brandon. So,
but like, it's joint trauma, because like there are so many people that are on board with that ship, and I just no,
nope, not for
so
me.
So much no.
Are there any other canon pairings that we want to talk about before we move on to maybe some of our favorite non-canon pairings?
I want to give a shout out to Molly and Arthur. I think they're a pretty dynamic duo.
Yeah, they are a good couple.
Yeah.
After listening to your Molly series, it's a quality ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also
Vernon and Petunia. Shout out to them.
To the end.
Shout out to Vernon and Petunia. Two of the most hateful human beings. Goes to show that everyone has a pairing.
They found each other.
Can find love.
Yep, they sure did find each other.
They found love in a hopeless place.
Oh. Yeah.
They created the hopeless place, but you know, it is what it is.
Side note, LeakyCon had a hat this year that was Grunning's drill. It was like a trucker hat. Dope. And I was like, this is so cool. I cannot bring myself to wear it.
Let's see what we got in here. Wan Wan and Lav Lav. Mm. No.
You know, they were just all about the smooching.
Lavender about building had potential a real relationship. To not be annoying, but it's just like the baby talk that gets me with her more than anything. I cannot.
Well, if it was an episode of Swish that I was listening to, or if it was a post on the internet, something that I was reading, that like people give Hermione a pass for dating Victor Crumb because, you know, he made her feel desirable. Right. And then, but people being rude and giving Ron a hard time for dating Lavender for the same reason. And I was like, I feel like there was a difference between those relationships, though, in terms of Hermione actually potentially having some sort of feelings for Victor Crumb. Whereas it felt to me as an individual reader, that Ron was just with Lavender to make Hermione jealous.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. Like, I'm not here to poop all over Ron for being with Lavender.
That's an image.
By the way, not in that way. Hard pass.
But he was 100% doing this to be petty with the intention of making Hermione jealous. I do not think that was Hermione's intention with going out with Crumb. Yeah, I mean, yes.
No, because you see her do it with McLagan and Six. Right. Like, you know when she's doing that.
Right.
I don't think Ron had any feelings for Lavender.
No.
At all.
Nope. He just wanted maybe to practice snugging.
Which makes me feel bad for Lavender. Which makes me feel bad for her.
Yeah. I have to feel love's clean sting.
Is it clean or keen?
Oh, I don't know. I always thought it was clean.
I think it's keen.
I think you're correct.
Can you please make that the episode title?
Yes.
Love's clean sting.
It's happening.
Katie, I love you.
Mr. Clean.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Wait, I have one more.
I ship it's Mr. a quick Clean one. And Aunt Jemima. Sorry.
I ship Mr. Clean and Mr. Bubbles.
Mr. Bubbles.
Is that like scrubbing bubbles?
Yeah,
no,
that one.
The bubbles. No, the bubble. Oh, do you mean the brush? I thought you meant Mr. Bubbles, like the bubble bath.
I don't know. He's a pink bubble man.
Yeah, that's Mr. Bubbles.
That's the bubble bath.
That's the one I meant.
And talk about scrubbing bubbles.
Unfortunately, the only gif that I can find is this man in a bathtub. So I'm looking at
it. I see it, though.
He's there.
Why did I think that Mr. Bubbles' mouth was like a swimsuit? Like just in the glands at the box? Like.
Okay, I have one quick mention for a canon.
Oh man, that stuff was the best. That's whenever it was powder.
Oh man,
so
I don't think
strange.
I have it anymore.
Disney World used to have powder soap in all the bathrooms whenever I was a child.
I never experienced that.
It was the thing. It was like nostalgic. Whenever you saw powder soap, I was like, I'm home. I'm at Disney. And then they took it away.
Then they put in liquid.
So dumb.
Hagrid and Madame Maxime.
Okay, yeah, fair. We can give them some airtime.
I'm sad. Airtime. I'm sad they didn't, like, they aren't still together, because the two of them had the whole world making these preconceived ideas of them, and they totally could have overcome it together. Well, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
He wonders if, like, Hagrid was... Dang it, Brandon. Dang it. That broke me. I don't even know what I was saying anymore. I truly don't.
See what it's like to be on the other side of the shenanigans?
I would not do well. I'm not going to apologize, though.
No, please don't.
I'm not going to apologize.
I don't know that he would have had the, not emotional maturity, but I don't know that Hagrid wanted to be tied down. He had too much love to give.
You know, I like that. All right. A new headcanon accepted.
I mean, that's how I'm getting myself through it.
The idea
that he didn't get to have kids makes me very sad. So I tell myself that he just got to be everybody's favorite uncle instead.
Yeah.
He's a dog dad.
A dog dad.
He really is.
So technically four dogs.
Little fang.
I'm still not over that Harry didn't name his kid Ruby, but whatever.
Right.
I mean, like, that was literally, like, on a platter.
Yeah.
And it's cute.
It's so cute. I'm sorry, but it's kind of weird to have two kids both named after your parents. I don't know.
Like, I love my mom. I do. She's the best mom I've ever had. I'm not gonna name my child after her.
Yeah,
don't tell her I said that.
I'm gonna call her up right now because I clearly have her number.
She follows y'all on Instagram.
Oh, tell her that we said hi.
I'm gonna put in my story. Mia said
hello to Mia's mom.
Damn.
Just randomly.
Y'all just out here putting me on blast like that.
Can we just have it say Mamma Mia and have it playing Dancing Queen in the background?
I mean, that's what, like, all of my coaches and friends, like, called her.
Oh, I mean, I'm not original.
I've got news for you.
Her license plate says Mamma Mia.
That's
amazing. Oh my god, that's adorable.
Yeah. It's real cute. Real cute. What's wrong with Mario? Are his arms on backwards?
They do look it. Katie.
Yes.
What is your favorite non-canon pairing?
Should I open this up now?
Well, I feel like we should save that for our OTP.
Okay, that is my OTP. Okay. Ooh, it's tough. I do enjoy Wolfstar. I don't mind Remus Sirius. But I'm also, like, really curious about Ginny Luna.
I would have loved Ginny Luna.
I just, like, I don't know. Remus Sirius, best friends, could totally see. I think, as Brandon said, like, yeah, something happened, you know, once a weekend.
Yeah.
But with Ginny and Luna, it's like, you've got Ginny, who's, like, so headstrong, but then you have Luna, who's also headstrong in her own way, where she just, like, owns her who she is, and Ginny does that too, but they're just, like, drastically different people at the same time.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I'm just really curious.
I think they make so much more sense to me. Like, if you want to talk about people who are very different but have some similarities that would make sense together, like an opposites attract sort of thing. As opposed to, like, Hermione and Luna could never happen. like, at all.
Right.
Anyway.
I mean, I like Ginny and Luna. For me, like, between those two, the most, like, realistic that I think could have actually happened and fit into canon is definitely Wolfstar. Like, we don't need, what, how do I word this? Like, we don't need to have seen Wolfstar, even with everything that we see that happens in canon. Like, it still would fit in that that could have been a thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to see it. But I'm just saying that, like, it fits into the actual storyline, which to me makes me think that it actually is, like, head. That would be a good example of headcanon, because, like, we really believe
you
it.
You have to create it.
It's mm-hmm. widely accepted, and it fits into canon without, like, drastically changing the storyline. Like, it doesn't change anything in the storyline. And, like, Remus and Sirius could have some happiness.
Mm-hmm.
While James is swooning over Lily.
I think if I were going to go changing the storyline, I really enjoyed the idea of Ginny and Blaze Zabini.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I have some interesting thoughts about what if Ginny would have been a Slytherin.
I think that she could have been.
Dude.
And
I love that,
you know, making that sort of connection. Maybe that's how Albus ended up in Slytherin too.
Do you think that the Weasleys were kind of like, unfortunately, just grouped together with the Sorting Hat, even though it may not necessarily have, like, suited all of them to be in Gryffindor? Like, I wonder if by the time he got to Ginny, the Sorting Hat got to Ginny, they were just like, yeah, Gryffindor, without actually taking a moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, which Weasleys do you think could have potentially fit better in a different house?
I think that Percy would have fit really well into Ravenclaw.
I was going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that even Ginny would have fit well into Slytherin. Mm-hmm. Bill could have been Ravenclaw too, I think, yeah.
I don't know about the twins, like, yeah, for whatever reason, like, they don't feel like Griff to me, but they also don't feel like anything else would fit better.
The reason why I give them Gryffindor is because, well, I don't know, I falter, not falter,
default,
I, like, go between, I don't know what word defer. I was looking for. I don't know. I don't know. Just stop trying. It's fine. I'll figure out my words.
Fluctuate.
Yes.
Just got it.
My headphones keep falling off. Okay, back on. I fluctuate between Gryffindor and Slytherin for them because of their ambition to open Weasley Wizard Weezes, but then also their bravery to quit school and follow their dreams. Like, I guess, again, it just comes down to what did they value, and clearly it was bravery. Yeah.
I thought of this right as everyone in the chat started saying it. What if they were in Hufflepuff? I could see the twins finding a home in Hufflepuff. Fine, whatever.
I don't know if I see them in Puff.
Aubrey just suggested Charlie in Hufflepuff, and I'm cool with that.
I could see that. I still stick by Percy being Ravenclaw.
Interesting.
I do think that Ginny, though, Ginny definitely could
Ginny
have
felt like my most aggressive, like, definitively, I feel like she could be in Slytherin. Like,
yeah, totally.
No questions asked.
That is probably
I wanted to read Ginny with other Slytherins.
Yeah. Ginny Pansy Parkinson.
I wanted to bridge the gap.
Also, like,
but
Draco
she's terrible. Has a face of a pug.
But maybe Ginny would change her.
Like, just picture Draco being like the jerk that he is, and Ginny also being a Slytherin, coming and standing up for other non-Slytherins against Draco and being like, that's not right. Don't be
just like a chaos grenade. It'd be great.
I like that.
I think that she could have.
Could have done well in Slytherin.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to see. Has anybody read any Ginny Blaze fanfics? And do you suggest any?
Would they be called Glaze?
Glaze.
Or Binny.
Finny or Blinny? Blinny.
Oh, Glinny. It's like Blizzy. Oh, God.
Also, oh, my gosh.
There was one I read, but it was, they were not the focus. So it was Draco and Hermione. And then there were some other characters like that the author had made up that existed only in their little fic. But I think they wanted to do more of that crossover with Slytherin and tie together some of those connections. So they had Blaze and Ginny getting together as well.
Nice.
And Ron was trash in the story. So, you know, there's that.
I feel like Ron can get a lot of hate via fan fiction.
Oh, he totally does.
He does. And, you know, unless you find a good Romani.
Right.
Yeah.
Then he's awesome.
Give me non-canon, Meg.
Okay. My favorite non-canon pairing that potentially could be canon, but isn't officially canon.
Is it like absolutely headcanon?
Absolutely, yeah. Headcanon.
Okay.
Albus and Scorpius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I want okay. this so much.
Heads up, we are seeing the condensed Cursed Child in San Francisco. And I heard that they make it a little more Scorbus in the condensed version.
Also, come on, that's the coolest ship name, Scorbus.
And also, they so like Spoiler alert for Cursed Child. If anybody cares, please go ahead 30 seconds. Scorpius like kind of ends up with Rose at the end. And that is just so bogus. And like, that was not the vibe that I got the entire time I sat through that hours long play.
Well, where was she the whole time?
Exactly. He loves Albus. He loves him. And I will die on this hill. I'm serious.
I agree 1,000%. 1,000%. Mia's dying because I think her bread was done and Mike came flying flying into the scene. Kind of like that scene where there's that Zoom call and that little kid bursts into that guy on the news and the mom comes flying in and grabs the child.
I just truly like they are one of my It's just so rare and nice in this fandom to see positive Slytherin relationships. So to actually get like two good eggs in one story just makes me happy. Like Scorbus is the best thing that came out of Cursed Child, and I stand by that forever. Scorbus is worth Cursed Child. And that is all.
I agree.
I feel like that's pretty genuinely fandom-wide accepted.
Also, it's a beautiful friends to lovers.
Truly. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
They literally grow up together.
And friends to lovers is my trope, along with enemies to lovers. Just saying.
Basically, Meg's like, as long as they end up lovers.
I hate you, story. Well, yeah.
Did you, fake relationship somewhere along the way? Yeah. Good drama.
Some other non-canon pairings that I was interested in exploring, which I've not read anything on these pairings, but they seem like I would like them. Dean Seamus. I could be about that. I think that'd be cool.
I could see that, like just one afternoon in the Gryffindor common room.
I think somebody in the chat, I can't remember where, and it's too far to scroll at this point, but made like a throuple comment about the twins and Lee Jordan.
Oh,
I could see that.
I don't hate it.
That would be interesting. I also like sort of want to explore maybe like a Ginny Hermione. I don't know. I mean, I just love Hermione because she's like bookish and cute and So like Hermione with anybody except teachers, don't, just don't.
Yeah, no teachers.
Are there any other non-canon pairings that you mean any of us have written down?
You don't want like Hermione Trelawney?
No, I don't think that would go over well.
What about
there's quite a few fanfics that are Hermione McGonagall.
What'd you say?
Hermione would kill Trelawney.
She would. There's quite a few fanfics that are Hermione McGonagall.
No.
So
no. Brandon just said Hermione. Hermione.
I don't like that my name is in the middle of that.
True. What about Lavender Brown and Parvati?
Okay.
Parvati. I always say it wrong. I said that wrong too.
Parvati?
They out there giggling about something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What'd you say? Any other Parvati? Parvati. Parvati. Any other non-canon? No, I think I said mine.
Do we want to do OTPs?
Sure.
The next things that we have are like hot takes or just interesting pairings. Like,
whether we agree or not.
That are going to be interesting.
Yeah. So. I mean, ours is the same, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are you, David Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah. Immediately, yes.
Looks like a real treat.
What
am I going to do now?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Obviously, Megan Ars. Megan Mines.
Eggers.
Kegs.
OTP is Remus Lily.
Now hear me out.
Meg would say this in a way that I can't, and like we agree on it all. So
I understand. I understand they quote can't be together because Harry. I hear
why is
you.
Everything gotta be about Harry?
Everything's gotta be about freaking Harry Potter, okay? God, kid is selfish.
The chosen one.
So this to me, Remus and Lily getting together is a no-brainer. Like genuinely, like looking at them in like fifth, sixth year of Hogwarts, they're perfect. They are perfect, okay? Bookish peeps, academic, they could study together.
Quotations.
What? What'd you say?
Nothing.
Go to the room of requirement.
I said quotations on study.
Yeah. They both were prefects. They would have spent a lot of time together away from the Marauders, okay? Besides, like, yes, being in classes and stuff, I'm sure Remus obviously was hanging out with the Marauders. But anytime there were like prefect things going on, it would have been him and Lily. And I think that, Remus absolutely, without a question, would have had feelings for Lil, but he never would have acted on them. Because of James and because of how much, okay, and I'm just throwing this out there. Like, I have so much information that we have like created and built up in our heads for this pairing. So, like, I honest to God have a really hard time talking about it. So, like, I'm doing my best. But, like, how we have built up Remus as this character. Which I think is pretty accurate, if I do say so myself. He would do anything for his friends. Absolutely anything. Because his entire life, he had no friends. He couldn't. He was homeschooled. He had such a rough time growing up because he didn't have the Wolfsbane potion. He was literally transforming every month. He was scared. His parents were scared. I would assume that they probably like had to like lock him somewhere during transformations for it to be safe. Like, he went through so much. So like walking into Hogwarts and having the opportunity to make friends at Hogwarts, he would have done literally anything for James, Peter, and Sirius, including break the rules when you know he really didn't want to. ignore things that they were doing as a prefect. Like, everybody's like, oh, Remus isn't innocent. Like, he just watched James bully Snape. You're absolutely right. He did. But that's because there was no way in heck that he was going to say something to James, because he was worried at any point that he could lose a friend. So he was going to let them do whatever they wanted. And he was just going to happily go along. So like, think, how often do you think James talked about Lily in their dorm room?
All the time.
So do you really think
she got nice skin,
right? So like, do you really think that he would ever even attempt to like befriend Lily Evans if James wasn't befriending Lily Evans? Like, that is, I think, where the holdup was, because again, he'd do anything for his friends. But then I also think that Lily, being who we've created Lily to be, who I believe is super compassionate, super fiery, she knows what she wants and she's going to get it. She kind of reminds me a lot of Ginny, I think, in that, which again is kind of weird that Harry winds up with Ginny, but whatever. But like, I do genuinely see a lot of correlation between Lily and Ginny. And I think that Lily could have put herself out there, but like a lot of you are saying, like in the Potterverse, Remus didn't love himself at that point. So he was never going to maybe even realize or act on feelings for someone else. And like, I think that Remus would have been more Lily's, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, jam. Like, in terms of a person, like, I feel like he probably was more similar to her in terms of things that they liked, et cetera, et cetera. But he was never going to act on that. And like, we see how hard it was for him to finally admit and come around to Tonks. Like, there was no way 16-year-old Remus was ever going to do that. I mean, obviously, like in this story that we've created, Lily worked really hard and did get him to admit it. But like, yeah, his self-esteem is so low that
what,
like,
self-esteem?
Yeah, like he doesn't have any self-esteem. he like genuinely hates himself. Like whenever he's in school, he hates himself. So I think that like Lily could have been the person who was there for him as a friend, to care for him. She would have definitely been compassionate to the fact that, I mean, she would have figured out that he was a werewolf if she got to know him well enough. She would have been there for him. She probably would have became an animagus with them had she been given the opportunity. And
the fifth marauder.
She was probably just like,
she was the fourth.
Truly. Mm-hmm. I just think that in an alternate reality, if Lily could have convinced Remus to love himself, he could have realized the feelings. And also, there are many a times in the story that the way that Remus talks about Lily to Harry is questionable. Okay. He clearly had feelings for her. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Yes, Mia.
I really, really like what Kendra said, where she said, I do agree that Lily would have been great for Remus. I'm just not sure Remus would have been good for Lily. And I think I agree. But in the same way that, like, when people talk about Lily and James and how he wasn't good for her and, you know, that sort of thing, it takes away any sort of agency that Lily has as a character, like to make her own choices and decide what's best for her and who's a good person. So I kind of struggle with that component. I don't disagree. Like, I think as a person who also likes tragically broken, specifically men in my characters and reading and TV shows, yeah. love ugh. Them, right?
The give more me broken, the more broken my heart just opens. Oh
right.
my God.
I'm all about it.
I have this really, sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
No. I'm just, I think I struggle with the idea of them actually getting together and that sort of thing. I see it. I agree with what you're saying. And I do think Lily would have been so good for Remus. It would have been great for his little tortured soul. But I feel like Lily needed somebody.
A bully? She needed a bully?
Is that she needed a challenge. You know what I'm saying? Like, she needed a challenge and someone that was gonna, you know, that wasn't afraid to throw it back to her in the same way that like Lily did or that Harry did. He needed yes. Ginny, right?
I will
to,
say
to put him in his place
in but our story.
He's the challenge.
Remus screws up a lot.
but honestly, I mean, like, look at him in the Potter books. Yeah, like, he's definitely a challenge. And I think that, like,
he broke my heart.
Yeah. And like, I can see what people are saying, but like, honestly, for me personally, James is not a good person. He's not a good person. And I think that I really struggle with being like, he found the girl and changed. Like, I hate that so much. I truly, and you know, if somebody wants to try to convince me that James is a good person, I give that challenge to somebody. But I truly, truly, truly dislike James. And I think James is bad for Lily. And I think that both James and Remus were fixer-uppers in different ways. If you think about it,
he's just a bit of a fixer upper.
Right. And in my opinion, Remus is the more worthy fixer upper because James was a bully, point blank. Remus has legitimate issues that need help. And
he has lots of tissues.
At the end of the day, is a good human. Like, to me, James is not a good human. I realize that he's young, but like, if I was in high school and I was in the dating pool, last person I'd go to would be James. Like, quite literally.
Fair. 100%. I don't disagree in the slightest. James was trash. The problem with trying to base opinions on what little crumbs of character development that we get.
Mm-hmm.
is really difficult to do.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not in the same breath that I'm not willing to say that James was not a bully, because he absolutely was. And he was awful and a complete product of, you know, growing up super privileged and aware that he's good looking and talented and, you know, whatever else. I'm also not willing to say that he couldn't have changed. To yeah. a certain extent. I don't like the whole, oh, he met the girl he wanted to be with, and so he changed for her. Gross. Change for yourself, be a better person.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But I also don't want to take away from Lily's, you know, agency and power and decision making in her own life, that she didn't know what was best for her either, to say that James was the wrong choice. But yeah.
It's one of those weird things, like when you have an OTP that you care so
oh, yeah.
much
oh,
about.
Yeah. There's no turning it off. Yeah.
It's like once my mind focused in on something in the text that was like, oh my God, why did this not happen? Like, I see it right here. You cannot unsee it. It just is, it's just, you can't. But like, Brandon, I love you, but Remus is not passive. I need to say this on the podcast. Remus, in my opinion, is one of the least passive characters. He stands his ground with what he believes in, and good luck changing his mind on something, as you can see with Tonks. Like, that man is not passive. If he was passive, he would have been like, okay, Tonks, we can be together. Pat, pat. let's go. That's he's not passive.
I think stubborn. A lot of his very stuff stubborn. Is very, very much like internalized self-hatred and, yeah. and those sorts of things. And so it comes off as passive in that sort of sense, where he's not willing to risk dragging anyone else down.
Yeah.
And that's what seems passive in that sort of sense. He's being active in his own beliefs and that sort of thing, but it comes across to other people as passive in yeah. those sorts of relationships, or maybe passive isn't the right word. It's more of like a
stubborn
subordinate sort of a thing. You know, he prioritizes other people's wants and needs above his own.
I get that.
I think what I'm taking from this sort of thing is the idea that Lily didn't need someone to do that. She was going to put herself first. She didn't need somebody else to put her first. And I think that would have been,
but neither does Tonks. You know what I mean?
No. So like, well, and I think Tonks was willing to dive in a way, that maybe Lily wouldn't have been. I don't know. I don't think we know enough about Lily to make those.
I feel like Lily is
now in your fic. Totally different world,
right?
You do whatever the hell you want.
Well, I do feel like Lily is probably one of the quote main characters that we know the least about, like even less than the Marauders realistically, because at least the Marauders get a little bit more airtime with like the memories, and Lily is just like very briefly there. So like we know that she's fiery because of how she comes in hot with like what are you doing and all that kind of stuff, but like I just really despise the Lily James like storyline, like what we do get from it. I'm just like, to me, and again, canonically we don't know much about Lily, but my idea of who Lily is, like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I seriously, like, I look at it and I'm like, she would not have gone for James. She would, I mean, obviously she does, like, whatever. The author just got it wrong, but it's fine. But, like, that's just not her type. It's not her type. It's not who she is. It doesn't make sense to me.
And I 100% think that James could have changed, right?
Yeah.
But I think the 5 to 7, like, time frame was very quick. Mm-hmm. For something like that to have happened. Like, if the things we saw in Snape's memory in, was that 5 with like the Veritaserum? No, not the Veritaserum.
Occlumency. Their,
yes. Yeah. In those memories, because that was like in their year 5, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Like, if that would have happened in 4, even mm-hmm. on the heels of 3, 4, and then he evolved as a human being, and by 6, 7 was a normal, matured human. That makes more sense to me. But like, for things to have been spring of 5, basically year 5, when he was flipping him upside down and behaving that way, and then yeah. by 7 he had completely turned his personality around, feels a little abrupt. But
Brandon has a good point, Meg.
He does.
If James was truly a terrible person, would Remus really stick around him?
He had no friends. He would do anything for anybody.
That's why I wanted Lily and Remus to just be really good friends.
Because
he needed a really good friend.
Yeah.
And then maybe later in life, like post-Hogwarts, if Remus could ever get it together, maybe do some therapy.
Lots of therapy. What do you have now?
I think that my biggest thing with James is like, he comes across as incredibly selfish too with the whole Lily. Like, first of all, Lily might not have feelings for you, and like, you're just all about like pushing yourself on her, which I think is not okay. So to like go from that to being like, yeah, you're my favorite person ever, I'm gonna marry you, is just a little shocking to me.
Maybe you need to go read some Jilly Fix.
No, so. I don't need to. I really don't need to. No. No.
I don't hate them, and I still don't want to read them.
Yeah, no, thank you. I found an article on Screen Rant called 10 Ways James Potter Got Worse and Worse. It's it's validating my feelings.
I agree with Marguerite. She said we just need a Marauder backstory.
I mean,
yes, I'm sure it would tell us what we're missing.
But if Remus and Lily didn't at least like go on a date together, then it would be wrong. Like one date. just one date.
What if they didn't go on a date, but you got like Remus writing down his unrequited love for Lily in a diary?
Absolutely. I would, yes. Sold.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go.
Ooh, I've never thought of Remus as a diary person. I could see that.
He's totally a diary person.
Yeah.
I think all of them were diary people. Maybe not James, but like, serious?
James is too serious. The only reason that I could see James writing a diary is so that he could read it again later in life to be like, oh yeah, look at that good idea that I had. I need to boost my ego.
Janine, yes, Voldemort is also a diary person.
Accurate.
Oh, Sirius would totally be it's not a diary, it's a journal person. Journey Fire said that, for sure.
Voldemort's a diary person.
Okay, this. Reason 10. He justified his bullying as his attraction to Lily. This got me. James had it out for Severus from the moment he saw him on the Hogwarts Express. His earlier bullying could be excused as the immaturity of a young child, but James made it worse by actually trying to justify it by diverting this bullying towards his attraction to Lily. Harry's visit to Snape's worst memory in the Pensieve confirmed that James targeted Snape more because he was friends with Lily, something that made him jealous. Rather than realize his bullying was wrong, James ended up coming up with an excuse to do so and made up his mind that it was down to love.
Common trope. I hate it, but yeah. Common. You ever watch One Tree Hill?
No.
Okay. I'm just picking up some very serious Naily vibes. Nathan Scott messing with Haley to get at Lucas, who she was really good friends with.
Can we all just not play games and just like be real?
We're too adult. That's the problem with these relationships of children. We're too adult and we don't like people playing games.
I like this one too.
We're old.
Yes, this is accurate. But 7. He became limited to his friend circle. And this also actually could fall on Remus as well. But while there are a lot of things similar between the Golden Trio and the Marauders, Harry actually improved upon himself by making more friends and allies over the year. This was instrumental in him winning the war, as help was always there. Meanwhile, James put himself into a corner, into the corner he was in before his death, as he was far too reliant on the few friends that he had. His social life took a hit after his friends had other important things to do, and James was left feeling isolated with nobody to visit while he was in hiding. He could have even had other friends to take baby Harry in after his demise, but didn't grow as a person to form new connections. Whoever wrote this article really did not like him.
Was it you?
You wrote this article?
I did not write this article.
I feel like it's taken quite a bit for granted of things we just don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking, not you, because you didn't write this article.
I did not.
I'm willing to believe you. you know, these are all just things that maybe happened in off-screenville, or they're creating them, which doesn't feel entirely fair. You can still dislike the character for all the reasons that are actually on the page, and that's completely valid. But I don't think we need to give them additional ammunition for reasons that he's trash.
James is just trash. That's all. That's my hot take.
There's your Marietta minute. Yeah. It was 60. It was 60 minutes, but it's fine.
60 Mariettas.
Remus has never actually mean to Snape. He just doesn't stand up for him or tell James to stop, which I'm not saying is okay.
No, it's not okay.
I mean, but I think we do see Remus have a snarky, rude side that comes out in the Marauder's Map.
Well, you know? Also...
And if that's his personality being put into this object, it's probably not something that he wouldn't have said to him.
I will say, Remus with the Boggart, that was kind of a low blow.
Oh, with having Neville.
That was kind of not nice.
I mean, in fairness, the fact that this kid's whose parents were tortured into insanity, his worst fear is his teacher, says a little bit more about Snape than how Remus decided to make it funny. But
thank you, that helps me, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Anytime.
I know, I have a, I honestly, I mean, I don't know, I'm gonna back myself into a corner here.
You about to tell me that you love Snape again?
No, actually I was gonna say I have a hard time defending Snape against things Remus may say, but then why can't I do the same for James? Because ooh. I just can't.
We love a self-aware queen. But that's okay. That's the whole point of an OTP, though, right? Yeah. Like, you don't have to answer any questions about why they're your favorite, and you don't have to justify it in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like, underneath my hot takes of relationships, the first one that I put on there was James and Lily, because I hate them.
Well, it just feels cliche and, like, in the same way that Harry and Ginny did, right?
Yeah. Truly,
I don't hate it. I'm gonna go completely off tangent. There's a big floofy white dog outside my window right now.
Go run outside right now and pet it.
What a happy boy.
Did we ask Mia, did you give us your OTP?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. I don't really have one.
That's fine.
For Potter. I don't think I spent a whole lot of time shipping folks in Potter. Like, I knew I had favorites and I guess who I wanted to get together. I never wanted Harry and Hermione to get together, ironically enough.
I really love them just as like besties. I really do.
Like, as the girl who grew up with a bunch of guy friends, I was all about platonic friendships and they made me happy in that sort of scenario. So maybe my OTP is Harry and Hermione's friendship.
Hey.
And them not being in a romantic relationship.
I like that.
Because, I don't know, I think I was so focused on other things that I wasn't thinking about romantic relationships. In reality, like based in canon. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Reality.
Yeah. Well, and then when the other books came out, it became more and more difficult to continue rooting for things or wanting to even see Hermione happen or Blaise and Ginny. Like, you hit a certain point in those books and there's no turning back. Like,
right.
So, I'm going to go with Harry and Hermione as besties, platonic besties. That's my OTP. Leave them alone.
I love that.
I don't have a soapbox to get on about it.
It's okay. You don't need to explain to anyone.
As much as Steve Clovis definitely pushed his opinions on the Harry Hermione relationship, I do love the moment of them dancing in the tent as friends. I think it is a fantastic, I don't think that was necessarily his intention with that, but that's how I view it. And I love that moment. Same. For them. I think that their friendship is something that is so important and so rare, honestly, to like see a platonic friendship that deep between a male and female character.
I think that's further evidence of them being my OTP. Was just I didn't take any of those scenes that I was seeing as romantic in any sense. And so then like one of the scenes that I think maybe hits me the hardest in Seven Part Two is when Herm's like, I'll go with you. Ma'am, stop. We still have movie to get through. I could be crying right now. Or if you go all the way back to, what is it, Chamber, when she runs through the Great Hall after she's been like unpetrified and hugs Harry. And like,
yeah, without
they've just
question.
Been besties from jump. Like, yeah. You know, no awkwardness, no questions about it, sort of a thing. I loved that. That was a great friendship.
Yeah, agreed.
Agreed. But we'd like to move on to like a true hot takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like these don't need to be long conversations about them. It can literally just be
drop them nuggets.
Yeah.
Spicy chicken nuggets.
Yeah, sorry. This one when I actually heard it off of a podcast that was formerly
known. James and Lily.
What?
Not a good relationship. That's my hot take. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Katie.
As anyone remembers, it used to be called Potterotica. I think I brought this up on the pod
that
one
was a
time.
Great podcast.
They're still around, but they're called like Fangasm now, and they do a bunch of different fandoms. But I do not like this pairing, and it scarred me. But they did a Filch Umbridge fan fiction, and that is a cold take.
We actually cold. Had to stop listening to
that
season.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Because I couldn't do it.
No. It was awful.
Could not do it.
No. Nope.
Yeah, that's a bad one. I just Umbridge with anybody. She's just so mean. She doesn't deserve happiness. It's so mean, but you know what,
she thrives on not.
Here's your ship, right? It's gonna be Umbridge and James.
Oh yes, they're perfect for each other.
Really? You would go that far?
Okay. No, but I really do hate James.
Okay, all right. Figuring out where on the spectrum we are.
No, he doesn't deserve to be with Umbridge, but like, you know what? Maybe him and Snape needed to work some things out together.
I don't hate it. I mean, oof.
Yeah.
I think I've already said one of mine repeatedly, but adult characters and children.
Mm-hmm. Snape and Hermione and Remus and Hermione are some of my least favorite.
Any of them.
Ugh,
that's disgusting. Gross.
Not here for it.
No, it's not okay. And I would very much like to recommend someone unpacking some of that if that's your OTP.
Yeah, I would love to hear stories of why you think that that's a thing.
A pairing I don't hate is Dreary.
I like Dreary.
I'm kind of into that. Like,
I love a good enemies to lovers trip.
Right? Like, I also really appreciate like the really silly memes, like the cutesy fluffy memes that come out about it. Like
the Dreary fan art.
Yeah.
Oh.
The spice.
Good.
But it'll be like Ron opening Harry's phone and like mistaking a message as from someone who is not Draco and ends up being Draco, and it's hilarious. Like those cute things, they always make me laugh.
Yeah,
but like I could see it.
It's not about a relationship per se, but like I never understood and fix the idea of them doing the horizontal mambo on a broomstick.
Yeah, how does that work?
Like, what are the mechanics there? Because a broomstick is
it's a broomstick, yeah.
My favorite thing in fanfics is that like the Room of Requirement was like a room that people would go to just like have some time.
Heating charms, their little heating charms for when it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brandon, no.
I also, and like, this is canon. But
no, don't say it.
Bellatrix Harry and Voldemort was... still just. I'm like, I want to know details, and then I don't want to know details. But like, has he taken a bath recently?
Did he wear socks?
No. Did he at least get a manicure beforehand?
Did Bellatrix keep her corset on?
I can't. It's like the Filch and Umbridge thing. I can't let my mind even think
honestly,
about going
I think
there.
It's worse than the Filch and Umbridge thing.
Yeah, it might be. I just, you know, brush your teeth. Okay. You gross. Tom Riddle, you
wash your feet.
Wash your feet. Brush your teeth.
I'd say brush your hair, but he ain't got none.
Okay, I have one more that is just kind of funny. McGonagall and Mrs. Norris.
In her cat form?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yow.
Okay. This is off topic. Did anyone think McG and Dumble ever?
I always thought Dumble and Poppy.
Yeah, same. Because he mentions the earmuffs.
He blushed.
Yeah. But I actually never thought McGonagall
viewed them as really good friends, I guess, like Harry and Hermione, you know? Dumbledore and McG.
Okay.
Did you?
I mean, I think I had a moment when, and this was just, you know, third grade brain. Ah, headmaster and headmistress, they must be together. That's not how schools work, but maybe. I'm sure at some point in my education, I also probably thought that the principal and assistant principal were together too. So, because, you know, teachers can't have lives outside of.
No, no, of course not.
They don't know anybody outside of the school building.
Nope. They actually just live in their classrooms.
Yeah. I do, except that I have three classrooms. I live in my office on campus. How about that?
I'm going to pull the lightning. Are there any other hot takes that anybody wants to say before I pull lightning questions?
I don't think so.
We didn't really talk about Ron and Hermione too much.
Just that they're meant to be.
Except if you're the author.
Well, no.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Absolute garbage. She's garbage. So her opinion means nothing to me. You are wrong about the characters you created. Anyway, next first question is from Kendra. Can we talk about Neville and Luna? I like and don't like them. It's like, I think that they're cute. I do kind of feel like Luna would be with somebody more quirky than Neville. And I feel like sometimes they're lumped together because they're like the leftovers. You know what I mean? And then that like makes me feel sorry for them. Because it's like, oh, well, Ginny and Harry and then Ron and Hermione and like, oh yeah, there's Neville and Luna. We're just going to have them be together. But I also don't like hate the pairing either. I'm kind of just like indifferent to them.
I think I liked Neville and Luna about as much as I liked Hermione and Neville.
I forgot that was a pairing.
Like, they're just there.
I actually really liked Harry and Luna.
Mm-hmm.
Over Neville and Luna. Anyway,
I'm indifferent, honestly.
Yeah,
like okay. I do like the little bit they did put in the movie, because like I can even see that fitting in, and like obviously they just don't end up together, but I thought it was cute how like Neville was like, I'm gonna go find Luna now that it's like all over, and like also that he like is all fired up and he's like, I gotta go tell her how I feel. Like, that was cute. Was it necessary? No. Do I hate that it was there? No. It's not like the burrow on fire to me. you know.
Yeah. So that bad. Didn't happen.
No, that it didn't happen.
You know what else didn't happen? You know what else didn't? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you added the burning the borough down months before they're supposed to have a wedding there. And
everything's fine. Yeah.
Cut out the second biggest fight scene in the series.
Yeah, that would have been so much cooler cinematically to show than running around the marshes of the borough. I mean, what do I know?
Harry and Voldemort's fight at the end is the literal worst. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Gotta get that.
Let's 3D. Finish this together.
Like,
and then I wind up with Voldy bits in my mouth as he drifts away when and becomes nothing.
When they like combine, you know, like
I hate that when they jump.
And
yeah, then it's like their faces and they're like, I hate it.
I don't like that. It's I also like
gratuitous.
Harry's really reckless, but I don't see him jumping off a cliff of Hogwarts just into the abyss. I don't know.
Brandon asks, when you, me, and you, Keg, say Remus is hot, do you mean book Remus, movie Remus, or fic Remus? Well, to me, book and fic Remus are the same, and the answer is that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Why?
Sorry, I was giving Ravenclaw their points for bingo. Because I think that like what is fic is different than book in terms of the additional, and I'm sure much more developed and better written backstory that you get for Remus that comes in fic. So saying they're the same.
Like, I guess just like visually, they can also both I be visualize hot. Them the same.
They can both be hot.
Yeah.
To be clear.
I visualize them the same.
Okay. Yeah. I think same.
I mean, don't get me wrong, David Thewlis.
I got nothing against him.
I have nothing against him. He's just too old to play Remus. Yeah, that's all. I mean, all of them just were the too
shame
old.
Shame wizard.
We were talking today, I think, to Meg's mom about something. I don't know. Remus came up, of course, because that's just what happens normally in our household. And she was like, wait, that old guy? And we were both like, first of all, he's not actually old.
Like, he's only in his 30s.
Like, got all defensive. Oh, boy.
First of all, you don't know me.
Katie suggests Marietta and Ernie Mac. I mean, Ernie Mac thinks he's basically the best, and Marietta thinks she's the shiz too, because, you know,
I don't like either of them. Go ahead, they can make a happy couple.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Marietta whatever. Deserves Ernie, and Ernie deserves Marietta. That's my hot take.
I'd like to think that Marietta deserves better, but
I mean, yeah, I really don't like Ernie.
What about oh, this is going to make me sound so vain. I don't know what I'm thinking about, what the word is. But what's her name? Midgen, the Hufflepuff.
Eloise. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eloise her Midgen? And Marietta. Her and Marietta, they can bond over their facial scars. Ernie Mac is dead. I said what I said.
He probably is.
Who's the Ravenclaw that sucked that Ginny dated? Was it Michael Corner who also sucked?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can die too.
Oh my god.
Kendra wants to know what the Remus Lily ship name is. We've actually never named it.
No, we haven't. That's very strange.
Is it Lemus or is it Rilly?
Lemus sounds like lemur.
I know. I kind of like lemurs. I kind of like Lemus.
But really is like, it's really real.
Oh, that's true. Really, really exists.
It really like does.
Really better.
It really does.
Like, really.
Let's do really.
Or would it be like Remley? Or
Remley.
Lilis? I'm done.
Okay, last one is from Sam. As we know, memories can be altered. Can they also be tinted by your feelings about the memory or the person in the memory? For example, Snape's memories, or are they just 100% straight what happened?
Interesting.
I wonder if you can intentionally tint it.
But like, you can't change what happened. You know what I mean? Like, that's hard.
Because of how you drop into a memory,
right? Like, you're as like a third person.
Yeah, you see everything. So it's not like Harry had to choose to follow Snape in that memory because he's like, wait, this is Snape's memory, I should see what's going on. He could have been in any part of that memory, right?
I think so.
What if like the feelings you feel about the memory that you're viewing that you saved, right? So like the way Snape felt with that memory, when you fall into it and you view it even as a third person, you like feel those feelings at the same time, right? So like in the way that we think about like secondhand embarrassment and cringe and you know, those sorts of things, what if you feel that when you fall into the memory? So you get like a full bodied experience.
That's interesting. I guess I don't really know. That is an interesting question.
Like you feel that hate like that Snape had for James, and like the shame and embarrassment and all of that. If Harry took all of that in when he watched it, and maybe in real life, like for a normal third party viewer, it wasn't as bad. You know, maybe. But because Snape felt it personally, you got to experience it personally. So you felt it more. That's interesting. I think it would show up as tinted though. Like if you tried to alter things in any way, or if like your perspective had jaded it somehow. I think physically it would have appeared altered also.
Magic, man. That's the cool thing, is like we don't know. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
That's why fanfics are worth your time.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. I really love fan fiction. We have a tie.
Did Ravenclaw get bingo
points?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They would Janine won bingo for Ravenclaw.
Oh, guys. It's tied right now.
Can you give it to both?
We have before.
I did it without. Mia gets points for hosting. Thank you.
Well, I'm assuming it's between Ravenclaw and who?
Slytherin.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's why she doesn't want to give it to us.
I mean, usually the last time this happened, we gave it to both. So. Also, first of all, congrats to Janine. She got bingo. That went to Ravenclaw. And Slytherin and Ravenclaw are tied with 150 points each.
Wow.
Okay, well, I also doled out points during a recording.
You did. That was very impressive, but not worthy of getting points.
Watch me give myself a point right now. You can't stop me. Why is there a bug in here? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that is true. The time before that, we asked the two hosts questions to win. So it could be like, what if we were to do a trivia question between me and you and whoever gets it right?
Now I'm going to feel really bad when I lose for Ravenclaw. It's fine.
Guys, come up with a good trivia question. Let's do it. The first trivia question that comes through is going to be it. Oh, something is happening outside of our door, and there's barking, and my mom is yelling.
She yelling at someone?
She yelled at Iggy.
She's trying to get Phil to eat his food.
Oh.
What exactly? A particularly good finder. Next.
Is that it?
I don't know.
Come on, guys, a trivia question. Come on, on the spot.
What are we doing?
You're welcome.
A trivia question.
I didn't hear the question because I was dealing with something.
No, there is no.
Oh,
and
no, a Harry Potter trivia question.
What did Mike make feed me for dinner? A cheeseburger.
A cheeseburger.
Is it on the same as everyone? Their left arm, their left forearm. But what if they got their dark mark tattoos in different places? Like, what if Bellatrix had a tramp stamp dark mark?
Oh my!
Is the answer the left forearm? Because if that's the case, then Mia gets it. Or is it the right forearm?
Are we trying to do this to award the house cup? Answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like we should just give it to both because that's what we did last time. But
so I spent all this time answering these questions.
Yeah. Who is the oldest marauder?
I think it's Sirius.
I think it is Sirius.
Yeah.
We're not doing a very good job of like making sure that one of us answers it first. We're just talking about
it's
it.
Like, I think it's this. Yeah, I think you're right.
Right.
Okay, we're just really supportive of other houses.
Both houses are going to win. Both houses are going to win because we suck and can't.
I'm doing it.
Look at this cat. I know. Icky. He's happy. All right, Katie, give me that fan story.
Fan story. Okay. This comes from Leigh Susnovich. That's a cool name.
Who gave Ravenclaw 50,000 points? Was that Brandon?
Oh, that certainly wasn't me.
I don't believe you. Look at that smile.
It really wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It really wasn't me.
I'm over here trying to make sure that both of us get the dang house cut. Listen, I'll stop typing.
I'm sorry. I love you.
Okay, was it this Vinny?
This comes from Leigh from March.
He wouldn't do that to Slytherin. Sorry, go ahead.
March of 2019.
Wouldn't he? He's helped us in the past. Sorry, Katie.
That's okay. Hello, you wonderful Swish and Flick podcast hosts. So I was late to the Swisher party and just started listening about a month ago as of March 2019 and fell in love with the podcast instantly. I work at home with just the three freaking adorable kitties my husband and I adopted during the day on my food blog, which I enjoy being an introvert, but it does get too quiet. Listening to your podcast makes me feel like I'm chatting and listening to five, including the wonderful Florence, hilarious, smart, and thoughtful friends about my favorite series. My Potter story started when I was 16, since that was how old I was when the first book came out in the U.S., I was actually waiting for my best friend at her house before we headed out shopping, and her little 8-year-old brother was reading it. He told me all about it excitedly, and I made a mental note that I had to try them, but was wondering if I was too old for them. Fast forward 3 years to college, and I needed something fun to read since I was burning out on my school reading. The first 4 books were out by that point, and I saw them at the store. Picked them up, and I haven't been able to stop loving the series since. I always grew up as a bit of a loner and had a lot of medical problems that made me feel different, so the series spoke to me on so many levels. When Order of the Phoenix came out, I had just come home from the hospital after an 11-hour surgery to reconstruct my jaw since it had grown abnormally and it had to wait until my bones had fused to fix it. Having it waiting for me since I pre-ordered it made my recovery so much better. I went to the final 2 midnight releases after that, and I love that I wasn't the only 20-something without children there. I will never forget sobbing uncontrollably when I put down the 7th book after reading it all night and the next day with very few breaks. I was so happy to find your podcast so that I could get into the series again after adulting kind of came in the way of reading as much as I would like, in general, not just Potter. The revelations and connections that I missed are so awesome, and I love how it is 4 such different and fantastic personalities that work together so well. I've also absolutely loved being a part of the Facebook group, and it is always so positive and fun. For my fun facts, I am a Ravenclaw, but I think my love of food, I'm even trained as a chef, and loyalty give me some... What?
So thank you, chef. Have you not watched The Bear?
No.
Sorry. Katie. Sorry, no.
That one's over my head. And loyalty give me some puff tendencies too. My Patronus is a white stallion. My Ilvermorny house is Puckwudgie, and my wand is Laurelwood with dragon heartstring, 12¾ inches with unyielding flexibility. Thanks again for such a fantastic podcast, and I can't wait to keep listening. Lots of love, Leigh.
I love that too.
Also, I'm glad that you are like beyond
that crazy surgery, and I hope everything is still going well. Yeah, and really, fine.
Reconstructing your jaw, that's nuts.
Sounds rough.
Yeah, that sounds like a rough recovery. So I'm glad that you had some good books.
No kidding.
Also, Klaus took the cup tonight, so.
Ayo.
This one's for you.
Perfect story. But truly, really, like.
Also, Slytherins did too, but whatever.
Seriously, like, anytime someone says something like kind like this, it just hits me right in my feels. So thank you very much. I now have to come up with a joke. I'm using my new Hufflepuff book. Probably should have used Ravenclaw. Do I have Ravenclaw? I do. No. I don't have Slytherin. Yeah. Let's see. How do you make a horse immortal? Don't ask me how that has to do with Harry Potter. With the horse or a stone?
That one's really bad.
Really bad.
Like, Brandon says on the Ravenclaw joke.
It's not.
It's no, it's Hufflepuff. Hufflepuff. It's Hufflepuff.
Oh.
Brandon says tell his dad joke from D&D.
Oh God, I'm gonna tell it wrong though. Do you remember the exact wording? Because I'm gonna tell it wrong.
Can you make yourself a speaker and tell us, Brandon?
Yeah, Brandon, please, you can come on.
But
see, now I'm too nervous. Maybe I shouldn't tell the joke.
No, you have to tell the joke.
Okay. So my friend actually was in Vegas with his kid and his fiance, and they were playing hide and seek, and he actually got seriously injured, so they had to go to the doctor. The only peekaboo accident I've ever heard of, he's in the ICU.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
Now imagine being told that, not knowing a joke is coming. You're like, oh my God, what happened?
I know.
Y'all should have heard Mama P in the background.
Oh my God. She laughed last night
so hard. Oh boy. Thank you for taking the time.
Always. But I guess I'll leave you to close out your own podcast, huh?
All right.
We'll still be talking
in Discord.
Oh, he left the stage. Okay. If you are so inclined, you can follow us on social media. Myself and Katie are on Instagram at the Petrus Family. Mia, would you like to plug anything? You're more than welcome to. Now's your time to shine.
I don't really think anybody wants to follow me on Twitter because it's mostly me yelling about the soccer and academia.
But so, maybe they will.
I mean, if you really want to, it's at @Dr._MiaKelly.
So fancy.
Academic Twitter.
The doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Get that fresh PhD. Thanks, Jess.
If you're following her already, just unfollow just to refollow.
Yeah, there you go. We haven't done a what have we been up to in a while, I think.
Go for it.
I mean, obviously, if you listen to the last episode, you know that we were just at LeakyCon. I just want to give another shout out to Goblet of Wine. Those ladies are amazing. They're so funny. You should go listen to their podcast. You should also go listen to Fanatical Fix. And you should just check out all kinds of Potter podcasts because we're a huge community and we all love each other and it's like the best. I am on Empire of Storms in Throne of Glass. Mia finished them before me and started much later than I did.
Listen,
there was one day where Meg was just like, Mia's gonna finish these.
I know,
she's gonna finish these.
I can't let her finish before me. And then there it happened.
And then I did.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know how to not read quickly or like,
I don't know what. Like, I don't know back. Why I am not with
if I'm in it, I'm in it.
Well, we've also been really busy.
I usually am, but I think that, yeah, I just like have so,
yeah,
just have a lot going on.
The read was not easy.
I gave up on it. I'm just focusing on Empire of Storms right now, and then I'll go back to Tower of Dawn. It was hindering me from reading, which is when I knew it was not meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I don't know that I would do it again.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of Throne of Glass, and having to stop the audiobooks to go to another one whilst driving, not safe. So I was like, you know what? I need to just pick one. I can't be going back and forth. It just wasn't working for me. So yeah, I'm on Empire of Storms. I am about halfway through it. So
the better of the two.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I know. Kale. Anyway,
that's Katie. The only thing that's gonna suck.
Yeah,
is having to then read Tower of Dawn in its entirety, basically.
I'll just put the audiobook on like 2.7, fly through it.
There you go.
Katie's reading CC too.
I am. I have been like listening to it a lot, so I'm not like sure like if I could say middle, blah blah blah. I am definitely more than halfway through. I think I'm on chapter 53 or 54. I'm getting there. It's just taking me a while. Which, you know, Meg's like, just bump it up a little. And I was like, I can't. My brain doesn't focus like that. I'm lucky I can do audio at all. And I'm glad that it helps me during running because.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that.
Sometimes, most times it's fine. Sometimes I like zone out and I'm like, oh, and I have to like go back until I recognize something I've listened to. But like, I will have to make sure that I like stop at chapters. So like, if I have a 45 minute run and this chapter is only 30 minutes, I will stop that and then switch to music because I can't stop middle audio of a book. I mean, of a chapter. I don't even like doing that when I'm reading with my eyes either, but it's not as bad to me as when I'm listening for some reason. I don't know. Yeah, just reading and running, really. That's what I'm doing with my life. R&R.
I also forgot I did start another book called The Paris Apartment by Lucy Folly. It's like a murder mystery. And it turned on when I started the car today and my mom was in, and I listened to my audiobooks fast. That's just what I did. Or just what I do. And my mom was like, you can't understand that. And I was like, I promise I can. I like have to listen as fast as I would read it. Otherwise it just drags. So anyway, I forgot about that. So I want to throw that in there. But Mia, what have you been up to?
You know, well, I just submitted a manuscript for publication. So fingers crossed in like 8 to 12 weeks. Well, here's something positive. It's about Sons of Anarchy. If anybody's watched Sons of Anarchy, because I'm an academic and I write about what I like, and that's TV.
I actually have never watched it.
It's worth it at least once.
Yeah.
It's violent, I'll say that.
Well, I did watch Breaking Bad, which was pretty violent, so.
You need to watch The Bear.
Okay.
So that clearly I missed a reference.
My thank you, chef reference. Let's see what else. As Megan said, I did read all of Throne of Glass in like the last month.
You know.
Pretty much it. I started reading Miss Memory Lane. It's Colton Haynes' memoir. He was in Teen Wolf, was also in Arrow.
So he was friends with is he in Teen Wolf? The guy who played Jake Gyllenhaal in the All Too Well short film.
Dylan O'Brien.
In Teen Wolf?
Yes.
Okay, so he's friends with the Jake Gyllenhaal actor.
That's Colton.
So that means he knows Taylor Swift. Is that in his memoir?
Does he
talk about Taylor Swift?
I'm still deep and sweaty in his childhood at the moment.
Okay, so not yet.
But you might be interested. He's gay and had a lot of issues with Hollywood and folks telling him that he was never going to make it as an actor if he came out, and having to deal with all sorts of that. There's also a lot of trauma in the book, so that's not terribly fun, but heard great things. So reading that, just preparing to go back for the fall semester, trying to enjoy what's left of my summer. We can still do a Taylor Swift podcast. I stand by that. Brandon, you have to listen.
What if our podcast is we take Brandon through all of Taylor Swift's discography for the first time?
I love that.
Brandon, you've just been volunteered.
Listen, sir, we're going to sort through your internalized misogyny and then you can start caring for her.
Yeah.
You're excused. Oh, I also went to a Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels concert, which was nice. Dope.
I think that we're going to try and get tickets to JVN's comedy tour tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Very nice.
He's coming to Sampa. I am very excited.
Teddy is loving life right now. I don't know if the purrs have picked up, but he is a purring.
Well, Katie, end this thing so that...
Oh my gosh, sorry.
So that we can go watch another episode of Grey's before I go to bed. Because I have
to... I need to know where you're at in Grey's.
Like, I will.
Okay, great.
I mean, like, does anybody who's in here care? Or have you not seen it?
Listen, they're on, like, season 19 at this point. If you haven't seen seasons 5, like, at this point, that's on you.
Wait, let me end it.
Okay.
Then we'll talk, Grace.
Okay.
Sorry that way for it's my not hot like takes about TV.
Don't be sorry. Hold on. First of all, thank you, Mia, for coming on and spending your night with us and being the wonderful human that you are.
Yes, thank you. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank this you was... for filling in for Tiff.
For Tiff. Yeah. I think that was one of our first shenanigans was pretending we were you guys. And I was Teef.
There you go. You fulfilled. It's full circle.
If Brandon
I've become
is...
Meef.
I was going to say, Meef. If Brandon is Beef, what are you? I was going to call you Chief, but we can do Meef. That's fine.
I like it.
Meef.
But then oh God, the you and Marcus. Emoji. Yeah.
I was so proud of all the photos I found for that April Fool's Day, man.
That was an amazing time.
I found some great photos.
I'm really glad that none of that made that into the actual episode. Like, what a train wreck. Marcus is always grandpa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Well, thank you, and we love you, and let's do this again sometime.
Thank you.
I love you both. This Taylor Swift podcast.
I mean, we could do it.
Brandon, what should we call it?
So many options.
Just call it Meef and Beef. Meg Meef and Beef. Okay.
Terrible dish.
This episode is for not knowing the proper lines to movies.
It's well, it's clean sting.
Yeah, it's also for Meef and Beef. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
I'm over here trying to be serious. Not really, but, you know.
Black? Black?
No.
Jokey white?
Yes.
Jokey white.
Jokey tall-iced white?
Tall-iced white. Oops. I just swore, you know? I'm sorry.
What?
I did. I'm so sorry. Oh man, I haven't done that in a long time on Switch. I'm so sorry.
That's probably one of the things that had me most nervous about doing this is I have the mouth of a sailor.
My mom is being so loud.
She set off a smoke detector?
No, she didn't.
This cheeseburger is banging.
Is it?
It's so good.
What? He told the joke?
I don't know. I better not.
Man, you're really going to believe all of them?
Yes.
Maybe. Oh, hey. Look at that shirt.
Nice shirt.
Wow. Cool shirt, man.
I'm wearing a whole shirt.